Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
It's Trey Reed from the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission. If you have questions about outdoor life in Arkansas, Trey is the guy with the answers. He's brought to you by Powers Truck Parts and Service, providing on-site and 24-hour roadside assistance from headlight to taillight and everything in sight. PowersTruckParts.com.
Hard transition there between Pink Floyd and the intro music from
yes.
Powers Truck Parts and Service.
The guys have a bit of a different philosophy with me on music. They want all upbeat music. I'm more in the lane of just playing good music. I don't care what the tempo of the music is necessarily. Although I will fall in line with them, and I do have a lot of upbeat music that I have put into the system. But here we are. Send in your questions for Trey Reed if you have them. I'll get one out of the way. How come y'all are doing this with Bullfrog?
Everybody's. This is a couple. This is like a couple years old now, or at least a year old. And you know, it's. I'll give you the same answer.
We get this question every single week.
I've given every time it's come up, and that's frog populations around the globe are in pretty significant decline, including our bullfrogs here in Arkansas. And so this is an attempt to get past their breeding season and give them a little bit of a break before we start going and sticking them and grabbing them and all that stuff.
Is it the loss of habitat that's causing their numbers?
It's probably, I mean, that's usually what it is with everything.
Drying up the wetlands, that sort of
habitat,
thing.
Habitat, but there's this, I think it's called the cryptid fungus. But it is plaguing amphibians globally.
Really?
I'm pronouncing it wrong.
Is this some sort of fungi that they eat, or does it grow?
Their skin,
it grows on them.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds pretty disgusting.
It is. It's, you know, we've got an endangered species up in the 11 Point River, the Ozark hellbender, which is a really one of the largest salamanders in North America, and there are very, very few of them left. As a matter of fact, they're propagating them at the St. Louis Zoo. They built this big, you know, sort of artificial habitat, and they're figuring out how to do all that. And we're actually restocking captively reared animals as kind of a last resort when it comes to endangered species. But they have been, you know, again, they're an amphibian, like a frog, and so they have had some issues with that. I remember that was something. When we have gotten our hands on some of those in the past, our herpetologist studies their feet real close to see if they've got any, actually makes pieces of their feet fall off.
Oh,
so,
dude.
Yeah, pretty nasty.
That's like amphibian leprosy or something.
Basically, yeah. Yeah,
kind of
like that. Yeah.
Well, they need Jesus to lay hands on them.
That would help.
He could do it. He used to help lepers when he
would
was
he,
here.
Would he lay hands on a hellbender, though?
I don't know. Well, that's a
good
question.
I have a picture for you, Trey, and I'll show it to the camera as well. Hopefully that'll come off well. But somebody asked what this is, and to me it looks like the chupacabra.
I would say that's either a dog or a coyote with
mange.
Is that a mange?
Yeah. Dog? Yeah. Which is basically what the chupacabra is.
Well,
exactly.
Most coyotes look like they got the mange anyway. Mark Twain wrote a famous piece on one in the 1800s, and he was talking about how bedraggled they look, and they're all scraggly and mangy. But,
Somebody sent me a photo just like last week or week before from kind of I guess what you would call Midtown Little Rock, the Normandy area, sort of just west of Hillcrest, south of the Heights, of a mangy coyote hanging out in there.
Just in the middle of town?
Yeah, just in the middle
of
town.
They are the most adaptable second-tier predator in North America.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was going to point that out. They are incredibly adaptable, and they can live just about anywhere.
Smart.
Yeah, I read a book when I was in elementary, which was, you know, 20-something years ago. And they were talking about coyotes encroaching upon where humans live now because
They've been documented in places like, you know, Central Park and New York City,
Chicago.
And
the U.S. government 100 years ago declared war on them. They're shooting them.
Yeah, I've seen
from helicopters,
pictures of like
poisoning them, trapping them. Then they just moved to other places. They're real. They're smarter than the U.S. government. which I realize is damning yeah. with faint praise, but the Coyotes are smarter than anyone we have in Washington
yeah,
right
that
now.
That doesn't take very much.
It doesn't.
Darren says, it's chemicals killing the salamanders and frogs, question mark? No, it's an algae bloom. I'm sure there's areas where chemicals are also affecting the frogs, because that's just the world we live in today.
I mean, look, let's get realistic here, and there's, with the amount of, and I'm not anti-agriculture, just to
runoff,
be really,
yeah,
really
yeah.
clear, but I mean, runoff. You know, we do use a lot of chemicals on our, mm-hmm. our crops, mm-hmm. and they, you know, it all flows downhill and into yeah. those wetland areas, and it's one. The reason we need wetlands is they kind of serve as the
sponge.
Earth's kidneys. They yeah. take out a yeah. lot of those bad things.
Filtration.
Filter out the water.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched a documentary years ago, and I think it was on Rachel Carson. She wrote Silent Spring.
Silent Spring, mm-hmm. yeah.
Started the environmental movement.
You know, of mm-hmm. course, we have less DDT usage and all kinds of stuff than we did back in the 60s and 50s, where people were putting it in their house.
Ugh.
Yeah.
They were spraying it in their cabinets. And all kinds of stuff. And it's like, man, this is a bad idea.
I did not realize, and just a couple of nights ago, I was watching the documentary about the 100th anniversary of The New Yorker, that Silent Spring was actually serialized in the New Yorker, is where it first appeared.
So it then became a book?
Yes.
Pretty much?
Yeah. Hiroshima, same way. John Hersey was serialized. Well, it was actually all published in one edition. It was short.
A lot of those books that we now deem as like they're extremely long and almost unreadable, they were published in sort of volumes like that.
Excerpts.
But now they've been bundled together. Like I think War and Peace was one of those where it wasn't originally that long. It was just read
digestible chunks.
It was read monthly or something.
Well, and that was under its original title, War, What Is It Good For? Absolutely nothing.
Say it again.
Okay. I just wanted to see if you guys were Seinfeld men. So, yes.
Question. Growth of gator population has to have an effect on the frogs?
Possibly, yeah.
Do they eat frogs?
They'll eat anything.
They're pretty opportunistic.
Well, I figure they'd eat anything they could, but frogs are kind of small.
Yeah, but you'd be
surprised.
It's like a little
snack.
They'll eat little birds, insects,
whatever
they can, dragonflies.
Really?
Yeah, really just about anything. Turtles, fish.
I'll make a deal with the gators. They can have all of my frogs because I'm not eating any frogs.
Ooh, I like frog legs.
You don't eat anything and you eat frog legs?
I'm pretty adventurous when it comes to quote unquote seafood.
So you don't eat vegetables, but you eat frog legs?
Yeah, I like frog legs.
That's amazing.
Good. You know, the high omega-3 proteins in that.
I've never eaten a frog leg in my life.
They're
have
good.
You not?
No, I've been with 100 people doing it.
You averse to it, or you?
I just can't do it.
Okay. That's fine.
I can't.
That's fine.
I can't do it. I like frogs. I think they're fine creatures. I just can't eat them.
They're cool animals.
Yeah, they are cool.
You know, kind of get a little deeper on what that listener asked. You got to remember that frogs and alligators have coexisted and been here for a long time. So the growth
Millions
of the
years.
Alligator population, while yes, maybe they eat a few more frogs, but that's not what's going on with frogs.
Yeah. Gotcha. Millions of years if you believe the Earth is older than 6,000 years, which you should.
I believe that the Earth is older than that, and I am a Christian and a preacher. So there you go. I love all these religious people. No, God created the Earth 4,004 years ago.
Yeah.
On Tuesday at 9:32 a.m. I'm like, well, I wasn't there. I don't have video, but I'll take your word for it.
There seems to be an overwhelming amount of evidence that the Earth is older.
I think
older
it's an old Earth, man. The Grand Canyon looks pretty old. They say, well, see, God made it look like that. I'm like, okay, well.
Speaking of that, we had an item in our we talked about on the wild side last night that was pretty interesting. The first, how was it put? There's recent research in Norway has found what they believe to be the first evidence of human-mediated translocation of fish. Well, what that means is people took fish from one place
and put
them
another.
Someplace else. So they found these.
They were stocking their pond.
An upland lake in the mountains in Norway, and they found these. It was covered by a glacier or a sheet of ice, which basically is a glacier, I guess.
There were a lot more of them back then.
8,400 B.C. is when they think this glacier retreated.
That was LeBron's rookie year.
So they're like, there couldn't have been any fish in it then, right, because it's covered with ice. They found the lake got low about 3 or 4 years ago, and they found these fish traps, carbon dated them to be like 2700 BC,
mm-hmm.
and they had evidence of being repaired, so they were probably older. You know, there were parts that were older or younger. So the theory is that these people, they would live during the colder months down in the valleys or on the coast,
right.
and then would haul their fish and animal skins in water or whatever,
right.
brown trout is what they were, up to these lakes. So when they summered there, they would
have
a reliable food source. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
These are conversations that would never be had if Roger and Baz were here, by the way.
See, and he is a rare bird in the among his generation. Nobody of this generation thinks that anybody back yonder could do anything.
Oh.
Everything that was intelligent has been done in the last, you know, 20 or 30
sure.
years.
Well, I think that's an academia thing where people think that early people were just dumb. They didn't know how to do anything. It's like, oh, they didn't have a wheel. It's like
yeah.
they had all kinds of technology that we don't know about. I'm not saying that they had computers, but they had ways to do things, and we've lost
pyramids, for instance. Okay.
Yeah.
We've lost that technology.
Yes.
We don't know how they did it.
The calendar and incredibly accurate predictions of the Maya.
Machu Picchu, exactly. The Aztecs.
They're much more advanced than what we know.
Oh, no question. No question.
This guy's sending in quite a few messages. Text from the 501 says, John Lennon said, go back to your not trusting anybody over 30. John Lennon said not to trust anyone with more than $20 in their pocket. Well, I don't carry cash. But my
that's another generational thing.
None of these kids ever have any money, man.
I got $5 in my pocket. But I guess my card does have more on it, slightly. Christian is an Astros fan. So am I. I went to see the Astros in the Dome about 1976 and have been a fan since. Yeah, we've had some good years.
I'll make you a deal. We will give you your old Astros manager, A.J. Hinch, back for a player to be named later.
I'm fine.
I'm so sick of A.J., I can't even stand it. He's awful.
Yeah, I don't know if he was the reason we won the World Series or it was just because we were so talented.
I think it's because he had all those great players. I don't think he had much to do with it.
That we were so talented and we, quote-unquote, cheated.
He drives me crazy.
I don't think we were the only ones cheating,
nah.
But we also cheated. I'm loving all this football discussion. You may be the only one. In Southwest Louisiana, I watched a gator snatch a roseate spoonbill. I don't know.
Yeah, roseate spoonbill.
Roseate spoonbill.
Whoa.
In the shallow water of a bird preserve. Awesome to watch.
I bet that was pretty cool.
Man.
That's like a Discovery Channel documentary playing out right in front of you.
Yes.
When I was a little kid, I used to watch Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom.
Absolutely.
And you'd always hear Marlin, and he's over there. Jim is over here in the bush dealing with the deadly viper. I'm like, well, why don't you go help Jim, Marlin, instead of just taking a picture?
I observe with my binoculars from the safety of a high perch.
Marlin wasn't getting eaten or getting a limb taken off, and poor Jim was out there in the line of fire.
All the glory.
He really did. It was Marlin Perkins.
The narrator, the host of the show, but Jim's the one doing the dirty work for him.
So my wife's cousin is married to an eye surgeon. You know, because of course she is. But he lives in San Antonio. But he did his internship here at the Eye Institute here in Little Rock.
Okay,
you know, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, whatever it was. But he said, "Yes, I've seen Marlin Perkins' eyes." And I'm like, "Well, I guess you know he's an organ donor or something like that." But I'm like, "Well, I guess the Freedom of Information
Are they
Act
like
is
preserving
over.
His eyes?
Well, I mean,
like
he
Walt
saw
him
at the time. Or, I guess that they were studying them or something.
I actually don't think Walt Disney is.
That may have been before HIPAA was in effect.
Yeah, I didn't mean to let any of the cat out of the bag, but I figure he's been dead 60 years, so it's probably.
I think statute of limitations is probably running out.
Is the eye surgeon still with us?
Yeah, he's still around. He just retired this year. Yeah.
And the good thing is nobody on the Texas Medical Board listens to Morning
You'll
Mayhem.
Appreciate this. This is how much money this guy was making back in the 80s. His next-door neighbor was this new Spurs guy named Alvin Robertson.
I've heard of him.
You may have heard of him.
Yeah.
And he was saying, well, I don't really know that he's got enough money to buy this house yet. And I'm like,
he plays in the NBA.
That was back when they weren't making the money that they're making now. But even back then, he was thinking, this guy doesn't have enough money to be my neighbor.
Wow.
And I'm like, that's a lot of money right there, okay? You know, Joe Johnson lives next door to me, but I'm not sure he can afford that house next to me. I'm like,
right.
I'm pretty sure he can afford
your whole neighborhood if you wanted to buy it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
NBA wasn't even flying.
Not that high back then.
We'll get into some more of your feedback. We didn't do a whole lot of it this segment. We'll take Stan's call. Maybe he'll talk about a statue or something. We'll see.